Amen. And you can be seated. And we welcome each of you here for Berean Bible Class Sunday School Hour, where we are starting today in the book of Revelation. And we're excited about that. A lot of folks excited about it. Had a lot of different questions and things. And I don't think it's a gambling kind of bet, but people are discussing how long this will take. And anywhere from 2 to 3 years is the latest consensus. I don't know which little group you're in that is going which way, but yes, it's hard to imagine. Somebody said, we'll be amazed if you get through verses 1 through 4 this morning. But you lose on that one because we're not even starting on verses 1 through 4 this morning. So you'll see the outline, and we are on lesson 1. And if you need an outline, raise your hand. Anyone need that? Lesson 1? All right. And it is an introduction, and we may not even get through all that. Look at all those sevens. Isn't that amazing? But anyway, we're kind of thinking about Revelation 1, 21, and 22. Not Revelation 1, 21, but Revelation 1, Revelation 21, and Revelation 22. Just again, as an introduction, I hope that what you will do is you'll read through the book of Revelation several times while we're doing this study. I mean, obviously, if you read through your Bible in a year, you will read through it once every year, but I would encourage you to read through it other times. It will help you. It does flow very well. There are many things you don't understand. But there are things that you will understand a little bit better as we go through them in our study. I'm hoping today to set some groundwork as to just how the book of Revelation works. And again, to narrow things down, Brother Colin said, "Oh, I thought you would choose this verse to be the first verse," which is some people's outline of the book of Revelation. I certainly wouldn't argue about that. But we will look at that verse as well as other. We'll have many memory verses. I wanted to, where I have my sections in capital B of Roman numeral 1, I thought about those being each lesson, but it's not possible. There will be multitudes of lessons within each of those sections. And it's interesting, many, many things will break down into sevens. And that is, I wouldn't say it's inspired. I would just say that it does seem to do that very well in the book of Revelation, and you'll see that later on. But anyway, I chose memory verse for the introduction, Revelation 21:5, and I chose that on purpose. "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." And there was a reason for that, and we'll get into that as we look at this outline. But I hope it'll be a blessing to everyone. And I really would be excited to be teaching on Revelation when the rapture takes place. That would just be such a blessing. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God, and you've given it to us. And I can only think of how John must have felt as you revealed these things to him, and now they're revealed to us. And though we can't see them with our physical eyes, certainly you've given us the opportunity to see them with our spiritual eyes and see just how things are going to end. Thank you for the comfort that you give, and I pray you'll give that today, and that you will also challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Revelation 21:5, it is on your outline, it is in your Bible, and let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 21:5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 21:5. And again, Revelation 21:5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And we come to Roman numeral 1, and it is the outline of the book. And capital A, the significance of 7, and capital B, 7 sections. Now, again, the sections, that is not inspired by God. That is the way I've divided up the sections. You will see commentaries that will divide Revelation up different ways. And many times, though, the division is in 7. And so I could not run away from the number 7. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I had a pretty lengthy introduction, because the number 7 is significant. You can't read Revelation without noticing 21 sevens. And that doesn't mean that the word 7 is used 21 times, used more than that, but there are 21 sevens in the book of Revelation. In fact, the number 7 is referred to one way or another nearly 600 passages in the Bible. That is an amazing thing. So you can't just kind of pass over the number 7. You can't ignore it. It jumps right out at you. Now, certainly it's used numerically where there are 7 somethings, okay? It also is used symbolically, I believe. 7 in history, and not just biblically, not just among Christians, not just among those that believe the Bible, 7 has always been kind of a number of perfection. And it's a number that means complete. It's a number that means total. And we say many times, I hear Christians say, it is a number that indicates perfection. It's done. It's complete. Again, no accident that there are so many sevens in the book of Revelation. But just to kind of, again, get a little groundwork of the number 7, that should not be a shock to anyone who studies their Bible. That would not be a shock, for example, to John. All the sevens. And again, John, we'll find out in a few weeks or months, whatever it takes, that John was the human instrument. Actually, we'll talk about that a little bit today. John, the number 7 would not shock him because it is a Bible number. It stands out often. As I said, nearly 600 passages in the Bible, there's the number 7 in there. And so it does stand out. But let me just give you some things. And I'm going to do this quickly, so I doubt that you're going to be able to write them down. But is this on? It is. Okay. But several, there are many sevens in the Bible, and I'm just going to give you some. First of all, the 7th day of the week was holy, according to the Bible. There were 7 days of unleavened bread, 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. The 7th year was a sabbatical year. The Moabite Balak built for Balaam, with Balaam's request, 3 different times, 7 altars, and provided in each case 7 bullocks and 7 rams for sacrifice. The Mosaic Law prescribed 7 he-lambs for their several of their offerings. There's the sevenfold sprinkling of blood in the Day of Atonement. There's the sevenfold sprinkling in the rules for purification of a leper and a leprous house. The leprous Naaman, we know the story of Naaman. He was ordered to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. In cases of uncleanness with leprosy or the presence of a corpse or other reasons, 7 days seclusion was necessary. Again, are you noticing a completion? It's going to take 7 days. There will have to be 7 days for this cleansing. There ought to be 7 days for this to be complete. It will take 7 days for this to be ready to be sacrificed. Again, understand that number 7, completion. 3 periods of 7 days each are mentioned in the rules for the consecration of a priest. The lampstand in the tabernacle and also in the temple had 7 lamps on that, or 7 lights. Jacob had 7 years of service for Rachel. He bowed down to Esau 7 times. Again, his brother Esau was going to kill him, and Jacob wanted forgiveness. He bows down seven times. There were the story of Joseph, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And Samson's seven-day marriage feast, plus he had seven locks of hair and seven widths which he was bound. There were seven daughters of Jethro, seven sons of Jesse, seven sons of Saul, seven sons of Job. There was a seven-day march of seven priests blowing seven trumpets around the walls of Jericho, and then the sevenfold march on the seventh day. There were seven ascents of Elijah's servant to go to the top of Carmel. There were seven sneezes of the Shunammitish woman's son when he had died and was healed. There was the heating of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. The king's madness for seven times or 7 years. Anna's 7 years of wedded life. There were seven loaves for the 4,000. Seven baskets full of fragments. Seven brothers that got in an argument with the Sadducees. Seven demons were cast out of Mary Magdalene. There were seven ministers in the church at Jerusalem. And there were seven sons of Sceva. There was a sevenfold curse predicted for the murder of Cain. And a person could flee seven ways. They could be delivered from seven troubles. There was a praise of God seven times a day. There were seven abominations. Silver is purified seven times. That is, it's thoroughly purified and is compared to the purification of the Word of God. There is a sevenfold sin, a sevenfold repentance, and a sevenfold forgiveness. There were seven evil spirits. There are seven beatitudes of character, seven petitions of prayer, seven parables of the kingdom, seven woes pronounced on the Pharisees, seven sayings of Jesus, beginning with "I am" in the book of John, or in the fourth, in the book of John. There are seven disciples at the lake after the resurrection, seven forms of suffering, seven gifts, seven attributes of the wisdom that is from above, seven graces to be added to faith, two doxologies, each containing seven words of praise, and then the Bible talks about seven classes of men. The number seven in the Bible is clear over and over and over again, more so than any other number. And so we can't dismiss the sevens. We can't just say, it's a coincidence. We can't say, oh, that was just lucky. Somebody already said, lucky sevens. Well, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. God's perfection is seen in the book of Revelation. God's completion is seen in the book of Revelation. God's totality, God's perfection again. As we look at capital A, the significance of seven, we see 21 times there are seven things. Seven churches, seven spirits, seven lampstands, seven stars, seven lamps of fire, seven seals, seven horns, seven eyes, seven angels, seven trumpets, seven peals of thunder, 7,000 people, seven heads, seven diadems, seven angels, seven plagues, seven bowls, seven mountains, seven kings, seven beatitudes, seven I ams of Christ. And it's no accident. All of that in the book of Revelation. And there is a purpose. Again, Revelation is, it tells us the end. Now, again, when you think about Revelation, you think prophecy. I mean, you always think prophecy. You always think, okay, this is, you know, what's going to happen. And we should think that. And we should think victory. And we should think we win. Amen. I mean, that's, to me, that is one of the great, great blessings. But the truth of the matter is, Revelation was written with the idea of giving comfort to John, obviously, and then to the Christians who were going through terrible persecution. And again, the idea of we win and the idea of all of that is good and everything, but they're going to get this message that God's still in control. God is on the throne. God's greater than anything. And God's will is going to be done. Folks, understand this. God never says, oops. God never says, What am I going to do? God already knows what is going to happen because he makes it happen. And Revelation is showing us that his will is going to be accomplished in every aspect, every phase, every detail, every jot, every tittle. It is so clear. He that sat upon the throne, that's God. God is on his throne. He is not off his throne. He is on his throne. By the way, no accident that in the beginning of Revelation, John, he sees, by the way, one of the greatest descriptions in Scripture of Jesus Christ now is in Revelation chapter 1. And of course, we'll spend quite a bit of time on that. But again, you know, no accident. John, hey, you know, here he is on the Isle of Patmos. Here he is suffering. Here he's going through a tough time. And God shows him this wonderful, wonderful truth that God's will is going to be accomplished. We will win in the end. And it's no accident. So he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. New heaven, new earth." You'll see that in the book of Revelation. "And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful." You can count on every word. You can count on every word. And so the significance of seven brings me then to capital B, the seven sections. And this is how I've divided up Revelation. And again, authors, commentators, book writers, you know, all these people, they will do it in different ways. Many do divide it up in seven sections. Others, you know, some do, some don't. And this is just my own outline. Number one, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Who knows what apocalypse means? Anybody? Okay, unveiling, revealing. We you know, revelation to reveal, unveiling. Literally, pull back the curtain and look. Okay, things which were hidden. The word mystery is in Revelation. Things that people have never known. John is going to get a firsthand view of those things. Everything is opened up. Everything is revealed. So that first section, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1. Number 2 is the announcement to the seven churches. Revelation 2 and 3. No accident. No accident about that. But again, what an announcement. And by the way, that announcement's for us. There are so many truths in Revelation 2 and 3 that apply to you and I. By the way, if you look at Revelation 2 and 3, if you'll want to read through that, you might see yourself in there. Amen. I mean, seriously, you might just see your life in there. If you want to divide up Christian, you know, I remember the, I can't even think of the name of that thing. But anyway, people take a test and they'd find out if they were, what was it, melancholy, sanguine, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know all the different ones. That was a long time ago. Well, if you want to really take a good quiz, read Revelation 2 and 3 and see where you are. Because chances are very, very good that you are in there somewhere. Then we have number 3, the ability of the Lamb to open the book. What a powerful couple of chapters. Who is worthy to open the book? And Brother Don, every time I've read through that, I end up singing the song from the cantata, "Who is worthy?" Is that from Then Jesus Came? I think that's that cantata. But the ability of the Lamb to open the book, nobody else could. Nobody else could. Number 4, the awful judgments of the book. Awful judgments. And, Revelation is full of judgment. You say, yeah, I thought it was going to give hope and comfort. And I'll tell you, those judgments are awful. And I'll be honest with you, if you read through that passage and you don't get a tear in your eye, you know, something might be wrong, honestly, because it's unbelievable what is going to happen on this earth. Unbelievable. Nothing like it ever. And if you read about the Battle of Armageddon and it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, and if you go to the Great White Throne Judgment and it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you know, by the time we get there and study it, I would be so disappointed. I can't imagine John with what he saw. I can't imagine him getting through that without many, many tears. The awful judgments of the book. Number five, the appearance of seven key characters. Now there's that seven again. And it stands out, jumps right out at you. Seven key characters, Revelation 12 through 14, 5. And again, different authors, commentators will divide that differently. Number six, the anger of God. Another powerful, powerful passage. Revelation 14, 6 through 19, chapter 19. And, you know, we all want God to be warm and fuzzy, don't we? I mean, we just think God is just, you know, I've heard people in blasphemous words say he's the old man upstairs. And years ago, there was that movie, I think it was the cigar-smoking guy that, was God and all that kind of stuff. And I think, let me tell you something, God is an angry God in Revelation 14, 6 through 19. And it's amazing how we pass over and we have allowed Christianity to soften up God. Don't misunderstand me. God loves. Don't misunderstand me. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is all those things. God also pours out his wrath. And the Bible equates his wrath like a wine press. I don't know if you know anything about a wine press, but literally, grapes are squeezed to get out every bit of juice. And that is the way God's wrath is going to be in the book of Revelation. The anger of God. And his wrath is poured out. It is an amazing thing. And then the seventh section is the accomplishment of God's will. To me, it just jumps right out. If you read through your Bible every year, you should get to the book of Revelation and say, amen, hallelujah. Because everything, you know, it just all makes sense. It all comes together. In Revelation, we'll hear about the blood of Jesus. We'll hear about the sacrifice. We'll hear about him being the spotless Lamb of God. We'll see the best picture of what he looks like now and in the book of Revelation. And so these seven sections, you say, when do you think we'll be at that seventh section? I hope we're studying it in heaven. Amen. That'd be all right with me. Even so, come quickly. So that is the outline of the book. At least that's the outline that I've developed and that we'll follow. Number two, the outlook of the book. Are you ready? All right, get your Bibles open, and I want you to follow me. I'm going to show you the outline of the outlook of the book, chapter 1 and verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and watch this, and of all things that he saw. Okay, who is this? Well, it says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, we'll talk more about John later on. In fact, I'm going to preach about John again this morning. Preached about John last Sunday night because I just can't get away from some things. And so what's it say? And then verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So here's John. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's suffering. He's away because he was condemned to the Isle of Patmos by the Roman government. And because he wouldn't bow down and worship them. And he wouldn't quit preaching the truth as a pastor in Ephesus. And so he's on the Isle of Patmos. It looks like his ministry's over. It looks like, well, it's all done for John. And the devil probably said that. And demons probably laughed. And by the way, they probably do that with you and I, too. And the old accuser constantly, who's accusing and pointing his finger and mocking us and all of that, often wants us to think that it's all over, it's all done. But it's not all done with John, is it? In fact, maybe the greatest thing that ever, maybe everything that John's been through comes right down to this right here. Maybe it does. I mean, there's the book of John, and it's a blessing. And we'll look at some of it this morning. In the morning service. Then there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Those are all a blessing too. But I don't know. Maybe everything has come down to this right here. John, it's not over. Hey, you know, maybe you're sitting here today and the devil makes you think it's all over for you too. You know what? You're breathing. Your heart's beating. Amen. It's not over. It's not over till it is over. And even when it's over, it's not over. Because for the Christian, we have eternal life. And I'm just saying this, John, you know, John is there bearing record of the Word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of everything he sees. And God is, as Brother Hawkins said, God's about to pull open the curtain. God is going to pull open the curtain and show him things that nobody has ever seen before. Now, John saw it with his eyes. We can see it spiritually as we read it. But here's the thing, and one of the reasons that I put this verse in Revelation 21:5, write, for these words are true and faithful. You can count on John's testimony as being exactly what he saw. All right? You have your Bibles open? Here's what he saw. Here's what he heard. And we're just going to go real fast. Chapter 1, verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard. Chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 17, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, and verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Wait a minute. He saw that. Later on, he says, let's just go ahead. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So he looked, and he heard, and he's going to see, according to the Scripture. Chapter 4:4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. 24 elders. He saw them sitting there. Chapter 5, and verse 1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. He saw this book. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? He saw that. He heard those words. Verse 11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels. He beheld, he saw it, and he heard it. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying. He heard that. Every creature. He heard every one of them saying that. Chapter 6, verse 1, and here we see a lot of things going on. He said in verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say. Verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast. Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now he saw these things. He heard these things. These things were going on right before him, right before his eyes. As God Almighty has pulled back the curtain, God has shown him some things. He saw it and he heard it. He saw it with his eyes. He heard it with his ears, as if we were standing right there. This is his testimony. Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. I saw these things. Chapter 7, 1, after these things, I saw four angels. Verse 2, I saw another angel ascending from the east. Verse 4, I heard the number of them. I heard the number. Now think about that. I heard the number of them. Isn't that great? He heard that. Chapter 8 and verse 2, he says, I saw the seven angels. Verse 13, he said, I beheld and heard an angel flying. It's happening. Understand that? John is there, and it's all happening before his eyes. It's all happening before his ears. Chapter 9 and verse 1, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Verse 13, he says, I heard a voice from the four horns. Verse 16, he said, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. What was it? Was it announced? Is that how he heard the number of them? Verse 17, thus I saw the horses in the vision. He saw that. And what an amazing thing for him to see. And by the way, verse 17 is one of the most unique verses. Them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. What is that? It's what he saw. And he described it just like he saw it. Chapter 10 and verse 1, I saw another mighty angel. Verse 4, he says, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven. Not only did he hear the thunder, but he heard the voice from heaven. Verse 5, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea. Verse 8, the voice which I heard from heaven spake. Chapter 12 and verse 10. Chapter 12 and verse 10. You say, you're going to read all these things? Oh, yeah, I want you to get it. I want you to see it. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. Chapter 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Can you imagine that? You're standing on the sand of the sea, and a beast rises up out of the sea. And he saw that. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded. I mean, he is watching this take place right before his eyes. Everything he sees, everything he hears, he's there. He sees it happen. Chapter 14, 1, I looked. Chapter 14, 2, I heard a voice. Verse 6, he says, I saw another angel. Verse 13, he says, I heard the voice from heaven. Verse 14, he says, I looked and behold a white cloud. Chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, I saw another sign in heaven. Chapter 15, verse 2, he says, I saw as it were a sea of glass. He saw all that. Verse 5, he says, after that I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle. The testimony in heaven was open. What a sight that had to be. Chapter 16, verse 1, I heard a great voice. Verse 5, he says, I heard the angel of the waters say. Verse 7, I heard another out of the altar say. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Chapter 17, wonder what that was. Amen. Chapter 17, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Verse 6, he says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. We all know who that is, we think, right? Chapter 18, verse 1, and after these things, I saw another angel. Verse 4, he says, and I heard another voice. Chapter 19 and verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice. Verse 6, he says, I heard as it were the voice. Verse 11, he says, and I saw heaven open. Verse 17, by the way, this is getting good here. Verse 17, he says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. And verse 19, I saw the beast. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down. Verse 4, he says, I saw thrones and they sat upon them. Verse 11, he says, and I saw a great white throne. Verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great. And chapter 21 and verse 1, I saw a new heaven and new earth. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city. Wow, can you imagine how he must have felt about that? Amen. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven. And verse 22, notice what he says. He says, I saw no temple therein. And chapter 22 and verse 8, and I, John, watch it now. I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And of course, the angel says not to worship him, but I'm just saying this. He said, I saw it, I heard it, it changed my life. Now, folks, honestly, it ought to change our lives. And do you know God has a lot of things He wants to show you? He has a lot of things that He wants you to hear. He has a lot of things that He wants us to do as a result. He has a lot of things that maybe others have never seen. Understand this. The word "and" in Revelation is used 1,200 times. More than any other book in the Bible. And. I thought about reading through all those, but I thought we'll just wait and do it later on. You know what that means? That means action and movement. You say, you know, Christianity is kind of boring. Things just aren't happening fast enough for me. Let me tell you something. Walk with God like John did, and things will move just like that. I read through all that on purpose. I wrote all these things down on purpose because, to be honest with you, that's the way life is for the Christian who is walking with God. It is that exciting. I saw. I heard. Come on. When is the last time you gave a testimony about what you saw and heard? I did earlier. Downstairs by the drinking fountain, we were talking about the football game yesterday. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when's the last time you gave a testimony of what God showed you. When's the last time you gave a testimony about what God let you hear or what God spoke to you about? When's the last time, you know, you had something happening? I'm telling you, 1,200 times. And. You know what? It's because the whole time it's action. The whole time it's wow, God showed me this. Wow, I heard this. God did this. You say, well, that's John. I'm going to preach to you this morning about John, and how the whole key is this: draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, honestly. Draw nigh to God, and your life will be just. It'll be like that. You say, but I've been close to God, and He's never shown me a new Jerusalem. He's never shown me those things. He has so much to show you. And I'm not talking about weird visions or anything like that. I'm talking about His will, His plan, His guidance. Aren't the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord? That's what the Bible says. All right. Wouldn't you like to take the right step? You know, honestly, and this is what I see in my life. I see, and this, and this, and this, and I saw, and I heard, and I did, and I heard, and I saw, and I did, and I saw that, and I saw this, and I heard this, and this happened, and that happened. You know, it'll make a football game look boring. It'll make a basketball game look boring. It'll make hunting look boring. It'll make all the activities we have. I'm not saying they're wrong to do. I'm just saying the things that God wants to show us and wants us to hear and wants us to know are far greater and more exciting than anything the world has to offer. You say, man, if that could be my life, it can be. It can be. And the way that it can be is draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. The outlook of the book, it is everything that he saw. Now, we're going to pick up here because I do believe we've run out of time. I had to go to my last button on this shirt because I'm outgrowing it in a negative way. All right. We have run out of time. That means we can't do an offering, can we, Brother Collins? Well, go ahead. Let's get an offering in, all right? Huh? Yeah. Bring those plates. Let's do it. I'll just keep talking. Anybody have a comment about being excited? And. Underline all the ands in the book of Revelation. It'll take you all afternoon. You'll be excited. If you have a computer concordance, it'll say too many to count. It is so exciting. So exciting. I would encourage you to read chapter 1 before we meet again next week. And we will finish up. We'll talk. I got a few more things to say about the outlook of the book. And then we'll move into the outcome of the book. And of course, we know what that is. But there's just some verses that talk about that a little bit. And again, get it in your mind and your heart, this idea of an unveiling. Just, you know, the curtain is pulled back and everything's being shown. Okay? I mean things that, you know, people are saying, what's going to happen to us? What's you know, how are we going to make it through this? And it's just God saying, here's your answer right here. My will is going to be done. You know, by the time we're finished with this, you're going to understand Israel a little bit better. I think you will. You're going to understand what's going on in the Middle East. You're going to understand, again, and I point this out often, piddly little Israel. What? How can a little nation like Israel, surrounded by enemies that absolutely hate them and want to destroy them, how do they just keep going? How do they keep going? Well, there's only one answer to that. That to me, Brother Hawkins, honestly, to me, that ought to be the most obvious thing in as far as a world looking at things. They all should be looking at Israel saying, wow, there's something going on there that is just beyond anything that we can understand. Yeah, it is. They're God's people. That's what it is. Anyway, all right. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. And thank you for showing us the book of Revelation and for giving it to us. And Lord, I look forward to what is ahead as we study this wonderful book from our Bibles. And I pray that you will teach us and you'll guide us and you'll direct us and help our lives to be exciting like John's life on that Isle of Patmos. And Lord, even though he's suffering, even though things are not going even the way he thought that they could possibly go or should go, Lord, he has such an exciting life of what's going on. And I pray that we would see that and we would want that in our own lives. Bless our morning service, Lord. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name.